Gosh, you know, Halloween usually comes in October, but there was one day when it came in May. Melissa Story is in stuff here in Minneapolis, and I'm Joy Bubbles, your storyteller. Yeah, it was Jason that introduced me to Corey. Jason was 4 at the time, and he met Corey at the hospital, and both of them were sick, and people didn't know how long they'd live and everything. But Corey was 6, and it was in May that he asked his mother, "When is Halloween coming?" And somehow his mother decided that it just felt like Corey wouldn't be living, you know, when the normal day for Halloween came. And she just said, "I think he really means, you know, that this ought to be his last Halloween." And he asked, "When is Halloween coming?" And she said, "Well, pretty soon now, and I think the next few days. What would you like to be?" "A pirate." And so she started making him a pirate's costume. She was really good at making stuff. And she said, "Can I be a pirate too?" And he said, "Yeah, we'll be a team then." And so she carried a cutlass, and he carried some kind of foam rubber sword with a feather on it. And they got ready. She planned it with the neighbors and everything. And she said, "You know, I got a midnight surprise. You know, pirates have to do a caper. And we're going to do a caper right at midnight." "What is it? What is it?" "Well, gee, if I told you, it wouldn't be a surprise. It's something that we've never done before, either one of us, in our whole lives, and we're going to do it at midnight." So they trick-or-treated, and everybody was giving Corey and his mother lots of candy. They better, you know, they better have with these cutlasses and swords and stuff, and because, you know, one of those swords with the feather on it, you never know how bad it could tickle you with, you know. And that cutlass was made of felt, and it could feel funny, like rubbing over your face and stuff, and maybe get you laughing or something. And they're pretty dangerous weapons. So he got lots and lots of goodies that night. And they went home, and Corey fell asleep. So his mother luckily had the alarm set to wake Corey up for the surprise. Wow, did they ever have a lot of candy. They were eating and talking. Well, they got in the car for the surprise. "Where are we going? Where are we going?" "You'll see. It's a secret. It's a caper." So they stopped in front of this appliance store, and there was lots of TVs in the windows and stuff, but they weren't turned on. Well, I guess TVs usually aren't turned on at midnight. "Are we going to buy a new TV now?" "Well, I don't think so, but you'll find out." They walked up to the window, and out of his mother's big pirate bag, she pulled out something and handed her weapon to Corey. "Here, push this." It was a remote control, and he held it up to the glass, and he pushed his, and she pushed hers, and they were turning TVs on. It worked right through the glass. I never even knew that a remote would work through the glass like that. And they were turning volumes up and changing stations. They never could quite get all the TVs to stop on the same station. But they did turn them up and turn them down, and they left them pretty loud. And then she said, "Well, we got to hightail out of here. We got to scamper." "What's that mean?" "We got to run." So she picked up Corey and carried him. By then he was quite light, too. And they ran to the car and went to an all-night donut shop and bragged to each other about the caper and how they were something that they had never done in their lives before. And every pirate should have his day and be able to do a wild pirate thing that nobody that's not a pirate would ever probably do in their whole lives. And they ate another donut. Corey had another wish, too. There was a man that came, and he liked to make big wishes. He said, "Oh, I could fly you somewhere. You could meet people in the movies or a famous football player or something." And Corey said, "Well, what I want is to be Santa Claus. I'll get to have a Santa Claus suit, and I'll go to that daycare that I used to go to when I was well, and I'll come, and I'll have helpers, and I'll be Santa Claus's helper, and I'll come there, and I'll bring all the kids' toys, and we'll have Christmas right now, and I'll be Santa Claus, and I'll have a Santa Claus suit, and he said again. And, well, that's very nice. And the man said, well, what would you like for you? What would you like for yourself? Well, that is for me. I mean, who else would be wearing a suit but me? You know, you have to explain things to grown-ups sometimes, don't you? So his mother got together and made the Santa Claus suit and came to the daycare and said Santa Claus had a special helper coming early, and, you know, the kids talked about what they wanted and stuff, and sat on Corey's mother's lap, who was acting as Santa's assistant this time, and got some different ideas that kids wanted. And so sure enough, the suit just fit and everything, and they helped Corey in with the big packs from the North Pole. She even had a printed Santa letter that she read from the North Pole, giving Corey permission to be Santa Claus, saying that Santa was kind of resting up from that other big Christmas that they had in December, and this was a good time for Corey to be the official Santa Claus for that special day. And boy, the kids were excited too. They played Christmas carols, and he gave the kids lots and lots of toys. And they had the extra driving home. The cars were loaded up with Christmas stuff, bows and wrappers. And as they left the daycare, they could still hear jingle bells playing, and they sung it all the way home. And it was one of Corey's favorite days. It's funny how you'll never forget a friend. One day we were talking, and I was telling Corey, we were talking about being angry. There's so many times when you're angry, when you know you're going to die and stuff, or when you're angry because you have a friend that you know they won't be around forever and stuff, even though he's like by then 6.5 years old. And I said to Corey, sometimes you just don't know what to say. I don't have any words, so I just have to start saying the words that I make up. You know, something like, Brutto, brutto di famoso, carozia, carozia ragazzo, ragazzo d'amboro, d'amboro di famoso di patiti, de patiti il tuo dici di famoso garazzo, garazzo toro, toro, carissima, carissima telotto. And you just sort of talk and kind of cry and talk some more words. And his mother was on the phone, and she didn't know what I meant either, especially since I didn't, just making up words. But she started laughing as I said some more of that stuff. Pelotia, pelotia, arroto, arro, grado, grado di pinia. And she started laughing, and then sometimes it's just a millimeter of distance between laughing and tears, isn't there? And all the crying and stuff that she had held in to be strong for Corey, the laughing just suddenly turned into just uncontrollable big weeping and sobbing. And Corey ran to her, and they started rocking, and they told me later they spent the whole afternoon just kind of holding each other and rocking and talking and saying so many things that they had held in that Corey was afraid to tell his mother because it might scare her, and things that she was afraid to say to him. And they even forgot about supper way into the evening, and just rocked and talked. It's funny, you know, just some nonsense words, and it just started that. Corey told me about Playland, Corey and his friend Jason, and that they had a swing up there that would hold 50 kids, and they're going to save a place for me on it. It might be years before I get there, I don't know. But it's comforting to know that in Playland, waiting for me, Corey and Jason are saving that place on the swing. Corey died Monday, September 21st of 92, and Jason was March, I think, 20-something of 93. And I talk some letters sometimes, like Dear Corey, I still remember about that swing. I was sick one day, pretty sick, and I was afraid that I might be coming there soon, but thank goodness I got well, and it's going to be a long time, I think, before I need that. But remember, I'm going to look forward to being on there with you. 50 kids, that's quite a big swing, isn't it? Your friend Joy Bubbles. Don't think there's anything any better than a friend. Well, next time there'll be another story, and I do remember the commemoration service where over the phone when I was doing it, they, for both Corey's and Jason's celebration of their lives, they had me to talk that language in memory of some of the times we had together when it was just no words, and Jason's mother said, words that mean nothing, but at the same time, they mean everything. And I told him, I'm here helping to keep the world safe for nonsense. So stay strong and treasure your friends and find some time to play. Talk to you next week.
At the tone, please record.